Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer 89.5 KVRF presents Dog Talk Radio, hosted by Robert and Michelle Forto. On Dog Talk Radio, we do just that. Talk dogs. Everything from introducing a new puppy into your home to the health and welfare of your canine senior citizen and all points in between. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto. You're listening to Dog Talk Radio here on KVRF 89.5. RadioFreePalmer.org is our streaming site. Dog Works Radio on Facebook and Twitter. And sitting beside me, the lead trainer of Alaska Dog Works and the host of Dog Talk Radio. Her name is Michelle Forto. Michelle, how's it going?
It's going well. You know, this week we've had a lot of questions about how to choose a trainer and what style of training is best for my dog.
We have, and some people get confused when they talk about positive reinforcement training, clicker training, hands-free training, touch-free training, and the like. My only advice to that is meet with your trainer, make sure that you guys are compatible. Don't worry so much about the methods that they use compared to how well you guys can work together and get along as a team.
You know, that's a good start, but a lot of the questions come back to, I started at a big box store doing puppy training, and I didn't feel that all of the needs that my dog had were being met. The trainer seemed to be bound by certain rules and regulations, and they weren't able to answer my questions in a way that was going to help my dog. So in those situations, what I recommend is that you go ahead and you seek out a trainer that is not affiliated with one of the big box stores. And when you're doing your homework to find a trainer, you need to do some research, not only on positive reinforcement or positive punishment, but you need to look into negative punishment and negative reinforcement and discover the differences between those four styles of training, and then decide what's going to work best for you. Some dogs do not respond to clicker training. It takes a great talent to be successful in clicker training. There's a timing factor involved. But on the same note, it takes quite the talent to effectively train with e-collars.
That is totally correct. So make sure you can find a trainer that will work well with you and well with your dog. And don't worry so much about the labels or the methods that they're so involved in. I think one of the most overhyped portions of dog training is what they call training philosophy. I've never had a particular training philosophy. What I say when I meet with a client is I meet with them and I say, I am prepared to work with you in any method that's going to work for you, no matter what that is, not necessarily positive reinforcement or touch-free or hands-free or clicker training or whatever. If your dog responds to X, I will teach him Y.
That is a good philosophy that you just described there, Robert. The philosophy of no philosophy.
There you go. So today we are going to talk about a subject that has garnered quite a bit of attention on the internet, in particular Facebook. A good friend of ours and the host of our sister show, The Side Vibe, sent me this article last night, and it's going to talk about the top 10 most dangerous dog breeds. But before we get into that, today is Christmas in September, is it not, Michelle?
It certainly is.
Why is it Christmas in September here in Alaska?
Because it is PFD Day.
And what does that mean?
it doesn't mean peanut butter fudge for dogs.
It does not mean peanut butter fudge for dogs. For folks listening outside, we get quote-unquote free money every October, and it is announced in September. What is the PFD money?
The PFD money is the dividend that Alaskans, all Alaskans receive, all Alaskan residents receive as dividend from the oil.
Yes, and it's a gross amount divided over 5 years, cumulative over 5 years, and divided for every resident that is here with certain restrictions, one being you have to be here at least one calendar year.
That, and I think that prisoners do not receive their PFD.
That I do not know, but I don't see why they should.
No.
So today they announced the amount. How much is it?
$900.
$900. It is exactly $22 more than it was last year, but that also means that it is a heck of a lot less than it was in previous years. The high, I believe, was just around $2,000 several years ago. So we're back on the upswing, even though it's only $22 more than it was last year. What are you doing with your PFD when it arrives in the mailbox the first week of October?
We are going to pay our property taxes with ours like we always have. That's a good way to put back into the economy, even though you're putting it back into the state. But we don't have a large income tax here, and that's how you and I choose to put our money back into the value of our home.
And it's interesting that we don't have any state income tax here in Alaska, but for some reason, Uncle Sam gets his portion of this money.
That's right.
Why is that so, you think?
That he's got his hands in everybody's pockets.
He does. So even in our quote-unquote free money up here in Alaska for living in Alaska, Uncle Sam gets his piece. And I keep saying free money and living in Alaska. You often hear so many people that are living outside of Alaska say, hey, you ought to get that free money that everybody gets up in Alaska. I think that they think it's a lot more than it is.
And I think that people don't take into consideration that the cost of living up here is never going to equal what the dividend is.
It is not. I know you were in Denver just this past weekend, and you mentioned to me that a 12-pack of soda was $5.29, which it costs, what, $7.99 up here?
Sometimes $8.99.
So $2 or $3 more just for a 12-pack of soda gives a little bit of perspective on how much it costs to live up here in Alaska. Our gas is not that much higher. I know we have a friend in Northern California. She pays higher for her gas than we do up here. We're paying $3.79 to $3.85 right now for a gallon of gas.
In Colorado, it was at $3.40.
So about 70 cents more goes right hand in hand with that soda inflation that everybody's dealing with.
Guess we don't need our soda up here.
We do not. So today we're going to talk about the top 10 most dangerous breeds according to the top10ofthecity.com. I'm not sure where it's located, but boy, it sure has started somewhat of a controversy. I'm going to run them down, then we're going to talk a little bit about them. Number 10 in the top 10 most dangerous breeds, and then we're going to talk about if we have trained them and if we think that they are of dangerous variety. Number 10 is the Dalmatian. Number 9 is the Boxer. Number 8 is the Presa Canario. Number 7, the Chow Chow. Number 6, the Doberman Pinscher. Number 5, Alaskan Malamutes. Number 4, the Siberian Husky. Number 3, the German Shepherd. Number 2, Rottweiler. And number 1, what is it?
Probably a German Shepherd.
German Shepherd is number 3.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Pit Bull. So why in the world would they include some of these dogs on this list? We're going to talk about all 10
here
in
just a second. What is the basis of their definition of dangerous dog?
Well, they say 45% of a dog tax occur to adults over the age of 18, and 55 occur to ages below. And the list is made because keeping dogs in mind, which makes good aggressive guard dogs, as well as hunting dogs, as well as domestic pets. The main idea of the article is to show how dangerous yet efficient these dogs can be.
So they didn't base their conclusions of the top 10 on the amount of bites that were done by these dogs?
Well, I'm not sure. All I'm showing you right now is this has caused one heck of a stir.
Well, I'm a bit skeptical of the article, but let's go ahead and discuss the 10 breeds. Start with Dalmatian.
Dalmatian, number 10, is distinguished by its intelligence, its perfect memory, independence, and survival instincts. Sometimes Dalmatians can be aggressive towards people. Otherwise, they are very protective dogs. A medium-sized dog which can reach 70 pounds in the upper spectrum, the Dalmatian was bred in Yugoslavia to be accompany guard carriages. It has acquired its reputation as a firehouse dog in the earliest days when firemen used wagons. I don't see anything there which would make it a top 10 dangerous dog. Do you?
Have you trained Dalmatians?
I have trained several Dalmatians. In fact, my father had a Dalmatian for a long time named Fred.
My neighbor in Oklahoma had a Dalmatian with his five children, and then I had my two boys next door, and he was one of the sweetest dogs ever. And I'll save this briefly, but it really comes down to breeding and socializing in the beginning of how these dogs turn out. I do know that in Oklahoma, Dalmatians were listed as the number one bite dog. But that was some 16 years ago.
Well, we're interested in what other people have to say. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and tell us what you think about the top 10 list of most dangerous dogs. Number 10 is the Dalmatian. Number 9 is the Boxer, according to top10ofthecity.com. The Boxer is intelligent, frisky, and full of energy. It is not easy to train, and they are a self-willed breed. In addition, Boxers are not typically aggressive by nature, but can become ferocious when provoked. Boxers, like other animals, typically respond better to positive reinforcement techniques such as clicker training as an approach based on operant conditioning and behaviorism, which often offers the dog an opportunity to think independently and to solve problems. So number 9 on our most dangerous breeds list, according to top10ofthecity.com, is the Boxer.
I agree and I disagree. Boxers, they are easily provoked. They need a job. And a lot of people are buying Boxers in cities where pit bulls are banned breeds because they like the short hair, they like the shape of the head, they like the shape of the body, and so on and so forth. But Boxers, in my opinion, and a lot of you are going to hate me for this, but in my opinion, they do not make good family pets for households with children under the age of 10. They like to jump too much.
Number 8 on the top 10 most dangerous dogs, according to top10ofthecity.com, is the Presa Canario. Originally bred to guard and fight with cattle, an attack by this dog has been described to be hopeless for the victim, resulting in death.
You know, we've trained a couple of them for personal protection, and for the most part, I found them to be quite docile and needing a lot of provocation to bring out that guarding instinct in them.
They are a guardian breed with man-stopping ability, incredible power, and the complete lack of fear. What do you think about that?
You know, I thought that one that we trained was really sweet and you never could get him to bite.
So, number 8 in the top 10 list of most dangerous breeds, according to the top10ofthecity.com. Number 7, I have trained so many of these guys, typically it's for behavior problems versus aggression. It is the Chow Chow. Chow Chow is one of the fluffiest dogs present on the list of most dangerous dogs. Chow Chows have believed to be the most ancient dog breeds, which originated in northern China in almost 2,000 years ago. They were primarily used for helping shepherds as well as hunting. As far as the nature of the Chow Chow is concerned, the overall analysis proves that it is an active breed and people love to keep it as a pet for guard dog purposes.
Yeah, Chow Chows are not a breed that you should have with young children. And they do not like other dog breeds. You and I have witnessed that on several occasions. There's a couple of other dogs on this list that do not like other dog breeds, meaning that they do discriminate against other canines. And that sounds kind of funny. Why would a dog discriminate against a dog? They don't. They discriminate against within their own species. For instance, a Chow Chow adheredly does not like any other dog breed out there. Several occasions our dog teams were attacked by that pack of Chow Chows in Colorado.
They were back many years ago. So we're talking about the top 10 most dangerous breeds according to top10ofthecity.com. This has caused quite a stir on Facebook and Twitter, and we're looking forward to hearing your comments as well on our page, DogWorks Radio, and DogWorks Radio on Twitter as well. Number six, another dog that has got kind of a bad rap. I've trained many of these guys over the years. In fact, we just had one in training just last week, one of the sweetest dogs we've probably ever had, even though he was a little boisterous, a Doberman Pinscher. Doberman Pinschers are known for their loyalty, brilliance, and alertness. As such, Doberman Pinschers are regarded as one of the breeds you will want to consider as a guard dog. Typically, these dogs are in the category only to attack when provoked or when they believe their family or property has been threatened. If this is truly the case, the Doberman will most likely respond aggressively. Michelle?
Yes. Every Doberman that we have ever trained, including the four that my grandfather bred and raised when I was a child, they are aloof. They're sweet, they're silly, and they typically behave that way around the people that they know the most. They don't reach mental maturity until they're about 4 years of age, which makes them highly misunderstood because they reach their full physical size fairly quickly.
They do, and yes, they have been trained as guard dogs. They were originally bred to be sentry dogs in Germany, that sentry dogs meaning they would stand at the border crossings and they would be the canine keepers, so to speak, of the gate. So they have been bred to be guard dogs, and they have been bred to be protection dogs. But as a typical family pet, at least in our opinion, they make great family dogs. Very seldom have I trained a Doberman that is considered to be quote-unquote aggressive. So again, we're talking about the top10ofthecity.com's list of the 10 most dangerous breeds. Number 8. This is an interesting one because I just read the other day that...
Number five.
I just read the other day that this breed has been put on the list of a major insurance company, and they say that if you have this dog on your premises or you own one of these dogs, you will not be allowed to be insured by their company. It is the Alaskan Malamute. Malamutes are the most wolf-like breed of all breeds, which should hint at its natural aggressive instincts. They are pack animals with natural hunting instincts and extremely powerful athletic ability. The breed retains more of its original form and function than many of the other modern breeds. Because of their intelligence, they can be difficult dogs to train. Besides, many plus points compared to negative ones, Alaskan Malamutes are regarded as dangerous because when this dog gets instigated, it is very difficult to calm down. Number 5 on our 10 most dangerous dogs on top10ofthecity.com. What do you think about this one? I know you have a very special place with the Alaskan Malamute.
I think that description alone shows that the person that wrote the article did not do good research. I couldn't disagree more, and it's not just because I personally have owned 3 Alaskan Malamutes in my lifetime. One was a wolf hybrid. That is ignorance on their part, 100%. I've never had a Malamute in our almost 20 years of training, and my raising them, I've never had one become aggressive.
We just had one just a couple of weeks ago, Coda, who was a very sweet dog, wasn't he?
Yes, Coda was very sweet. His owners did say that he could get pushy, but he would get pushy because he would not want them to discipline the 4-year-old child.
All right, so this.
So we just got to back up a second, and we need to make sure that we let everybody know that the opinions that are portrayed in this article are not the opinions of Dog Talk Radio.
They are not, and that's why we're discussing them today. And I know several people have made their point known, and in particular, number four we're going to talk about. We have a good, very good friend of ours who is also a host on our sister network, The Sibe Vibe. Her name is Dorothy Wills Raftery. She is the owner of Five Sibes. She even has the Five Sibes as a trademark. So she knows a thing or two about the Siberian Husky, and that happens to be number four. And wait till you hear this, Michelle. The Siberian Husky with a thick double coat. Huskies are energetic and athletic dogs who have been responsible for causing 6% of the total deaths in the United States between 1979 and 1997 from dog bites. What in the world do you think about this?
That's all it says?
We'll continue on, but let's talk about that first statement first.
I think that's a lot of years. 1979 to 1997, to say 6%. If you broke that down per year, you're talking about a minuscule amount of dogs that bit somebody to the point of death.
So, you know, I have been a breeder of Siberian Huskies since 1987 with my first dog, Axel. We have five of them right now in our kennel, and I cannot think of a single dog that I have ever trained or have ever owned, and I've probably owned, 75 Siberians in my 25, 30 years. I have never seen one that has become dangerous. Have you?
Yes, we rescued one from a shelter that was going to be put down. We had a 30-run kennel in Denver, and the local Denver Dumfriends League, or excuse me, the local Aurora City Animal Shelter had an infection with kennel cough, and they brought some of their dogs to our facility for the summer. And our son Tyler was 13 at the time, and Juno came in to the facility right at the end, and they had taken all of the other dogs out, and Juno stayed with us a couple of weeks longer because they weren't sure how to deal with him because he was a fence jumper, and when he would jump the fence and people would try to catch him, he would bite. Tyler spent the entire summer rehabilitating that dog, put him through our growly class, and graduated him through Canine Good Citizen, and eventually placed that dog with a gentleman who still has him in Colorado and hikes the Deer Creek Mountain Trail quite often with him. He is a great dog, and on that trail he comes across a lot of other dogs.
Well, let's to quantify that just a little bit. He was dog aggressive. He was not necessarily people aggressive.
He was dog aggressive, but they tagged him as human aggressive because he would bite out of fear.
So I do not think that the Siberian Husky should rate as number four on our list of top 10 dogs. What do you think of the list so far, Michelle?
Am I allowed to say it's BS?
I guess it is.
I can say BS, but I can't say the actual word. I would say the word, yeah.
Okay, number three on the list, and for some reason or another, my computer just died, so I cannot give the description they put on their list itself. But number three in the list is the German Shepherd, in the top 10 most dangerous dogs of all time, according to the top10ofthecity.com. Number three, the German Shepherd.
Well, you know full and well I would disagree with that. We have a lovely dog at home named Kane. He is 6 years old, and he is our daughter's best friend, and he has helped us train so many puppies from the Maltese to the Great Pyrenees. He is a super well-adjusted, well-socialized German Shepherd. He is sweet, but he will do what he's trained to do in the blink of an eye.
Here, and my computer is back up now. I guess it's that new iOS bug that is going around on Apple. They just released the brand new update for the Apple, so I guess that's the problem. So they say because they are smart, vigilant, confident, and not afraid of anything at all, the German Shepherd is number three on the list, and also they are 4.6% of all dogs registered with the American Kennel Club. Again, that number seems very small to me.
It does, but they're trying to make something out of nothing. German Shepherds, just like any dog, I like how it says that they're not fearful. That is not true. Any dog can be fearful.
Number two on the list, and wait till you hear this, Michelle, number two on the list of most dangerous dogs, according to the top10ofthecity.com, is the Rottweiler. I know we have trained a heck of a lot of Rottweilers in our day. The Rottweiler, also known as the Rottweil Butcher. Rottweils are used for hunting and guarding purposes due to the intense territorial instincts. A multifaceted herding and stock protection dog is capable of working with all kinds of livestock under a variety of conditions. Their appearance is natural and rustic. Their behavior, self-assured, steady, fearless, and reacts to their surroundings with great alertness. Their weight can range from 46 kilograms to 59 kilograms. And for us in the U.S., that's about, 100 to 150 pounds.
That's correct.
The Rottweil Butchers.
Yeah, where'd they get that information from? You know, I owned a Rottweiler when I was 17. He was one of the best dogs I ever had. He was very loyal, very trustworthy, watched my back without any sort of training, did not show any aggression towards other dogs, people, or other animals. Every Rottweiler that we have trained has been the exact opposite of what this article is describing them to be. I personally think that they are good family dogs, and I recommend them for families over many of the other breeds that are on this list and over many of the popular breeds like Labradors and Golden Retrievers. A lot of people don't know, but the Greater Swiss Mountain Dog and the Burmese Mountain Dog, those guys come from Rottweilers. And in our experience, we have dealt with those breeds being more aggressive than any of these breeds that they're discussing, along with Golden Retrievers. Isn't that true?
That is exactly true. I think any dog can bite. Any dog can become dangerous depending on his surroundings. I know just a few weeks ago we talked about the roving bands of merciless chihuahuas throughout the city of Detroit, 50,000 dogs strong, roving in packs and gangs of doggy little doggy violence. Can you just imagine?
No, I don't want to imagine.
So number one on the list, boy, I tell you what, these guys get one heck of a bad rap. I know we have trained many of these dogs over the years, especially in Denver. We were one of the few trainers that would work with these guys. The Pit Bull are number one on the top 10 most dangerous dogs, according to Top 10 of the City. And it says on here that they have been reported to amount to 67% of all fatalities from dog bites can be attributed to the Pit Bull or the Pit Bull Terrier. Michelle, what do you think about that astounding statistic? 67% of all dog bites come from the Pit Bull.
Well, I don't agree with any of the numbers that they have magically come up with. I disagree with the entire article. I don't think that they did their research. This is an article that somebody wrote up. It sounds like somebody that was the president of an HOA.
You know, it says here that they weigh from 25 to 30 kilograms, which is approximately 65 to 70 pounds, and are sporting and have extremely powerful jaws. A pit bull can take on just about any opponent, stubbornly locking its jaws on its victim and maul them to a painful and final death. Because of this breed of dogs is known to be aggressive, fearless, and superior fighters, pit bulls are one of the most dangerous and most sought-after dogs for dog fighting. Of course, we all know about the fighting dogs that have been in the news as of late, and all of the problems that this dog gets in the press. So, running them down
you
real
know,
quick.
You know, I want to say something about the pit bull. About 45 years ago, Petey was the little rascal's best friend.
He sure was. Petey was a pit bull back in the early days, the black and white little rascals. Number one on the list of most dangerous dogs, according to the top 10 of thecity.com, pit bulls, Rottweilers, German Shepherds, Huskies, number four, Alaskans, number five, Dobermans, number six, Chow Chow, Presa Canario, number nine is the Boxer, number 10 is the Dalmatian. Michelle, we have about 30 seconds. I know we should not have talked about this, but why did we?
You know, I think that people need to understand that everything that you read on the internet isn't necessarily true. It's media, hyper-hypocrisy, if I can so aptly quote someone's article written a few years ago.
That was me. I wrote an article about Katrina many years ago, and I sure did get in a lot of hot water that I'm still dealing
with
today.
You know, but that title still rings true, media, hyper-hypocrisy. The media is in a hypocritical state.
So one of the reasons I brought this up was because a lot of times people will, one thing that you should do is do your research. And a lot of times people will just go out and buy a dog just because of appearance, or their neighbor has one, or, you know, they like what they see in the movies, et cetera, and they do not do their research, good, bad, or otherwise, and they end up with too much of a dog that they can handle. So make sure you do all of your research, make sure it's good research, and I would highly recommend that you quote, quote, if you visit one site only, if that is the site that you visit, I would visit theamericankennelclub.org.
Absolutely, but even before you research a dog, go talk to the neighborhood veterinarian and a dog trainer, because they can help you decide what dog is going to best fit your lifestyle.
That is right. So we're looking forward to your input. Do you think that these top 10 dogs are some of the most dangerous dogs? Give us a holler on Facebook and Twitter. Both of us are on DogWorks Radio on Twitter and Facebook. We look forward to seeing you guys next time. Goodbye.